Antidote to anxiety. So I just want to start by saying hi. My name's Mike, and I'm a fellow control enthusiast. Do we have any more of those in here? Okay. It's an interesting thing. You know, I said several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I figured out that I could give stuff to God and feel a tangible peace. But my problem is always recognizing that I'm spinning out and stressing over all these crazy things. Back when I first started ministry, I was learning a whole bunch of stuff, and I was stressed beyond belief, I guess, and I started developing a twitch in my eye during that time. Everybody thought I was winking at him. I wasn't. I just had this twitch, and I was so concerned about it, I didn't know what was happening. I went to the doctor, and I said, you know, what's going on with my eye? And he did all these tests, and he goes, oh, you're fine. He goes, but do you have any stress in your life? And I looked at my life, and I'm like, oh, that's what's going on. And then as I realized that, I gave it to God, the twitch went away. Well, interestingly, I went to get a physical this Monday, I guess, and I was, the doctor was asking me how things are going. I said, everything's going great, except my back has been killing me. And it's weird. It's not the lower back, which is what my normal thing is, but it's the upper back where I carry stress. But it's so painful, I can't sleep. I'm not sleeping right, all these different things. And he looked at a bunch of stuff, and he says, do you have any stress in your life? And I'm like, oh, man. So I started looking at different things. I go, I gotta give that stuff to God, you know. And what's funny is I write these messages sometimes 5 or 6 weeks in advance so Mike can plan the music and make sure everything's thematic. And so in 5 or 6 weeks, I forgot everything that I've written today. And Saturday, or actually Monday, I had to be reminded that I was stressed. And then Saturday, as I was preparing for this again, I was like, I just had to chuckle. Because God addresses every one of my deals, right? Everything that I had forgotten, everything that I should be trusting Him for, everything that allows me to give it away so I can again experience that tangible peace. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And so just to kind of prepare you for this message a little bit, I need to get you in the right headspace. And so I want you to get as stressed out as possible. So I want you to think about, what is the thing that you've been worrying about, stressing about, have anxiety about the most lately? I'll give some things just to jog your memory. Is it finances? I mean, inflation's out of control. Is it your job? Is it your kids? Is it your weight? Is it your schedule? I mean, what is it that you've been stressing out about the most lately? And I ask that because usually we can get quite specific about what it is that we've been stressing about. It's usually one, maybe two things that just have us spinning over and over and over. Reality today is we're living in an age that has been termed the age of anxiety, and I believe it. I mean, you had two wars to the inflation, to politics gone rogue, you know, in our society, plus 100 million other things that you could add to that list, and you got people stressing about just about everything today. Just anxious, uptight about everything, it seems, as they go through life. It's caused them to have thin skin, not thick skin, and causes them to overreact. It causes them to speak out when they shouldn't. You know, it's interesting. This is not a new thing, this stress thing. Several years ago when the stock market tanked, there was two stockbrokers that were talking to each other. And one said, I'm worried sick. And the other stockbroker said, I'm not worried at all. He goes, "What? How could that possibly be? And he said, well, I hired a professional worrier and he does all my worrying for me. The other guy was amazed at that. He goes, well, how much does one of those cost? And he goes, $200,000. He goes, $200,000. He goes, how do you afford that? He goes, I don't know, but it's not my worry. So here's the deal. Anxiety, it says in Proverbs, is in the heart, brings a man down. It weighs a heart down. The old English word for worry literally means to choke or to strangle. And that's what worry does to us. We get so wrapped up. We get so energized over this one thing. It's what causes us not to sleep because we're so filled with energy trying to control the uncontrollable. We're anxious about the future. We're freaking out because of the past. We're fearful about what will come. Truth is, this worry thing produces a lot of energy, just never makes any progress. It's like that rocking chair I keep talking about, right? You can go as fast as you want on that rocking chair, but you still always end up in the same place. Did some research this week and found a study that suggested that 40% of all our worries are about the future, and they never come true. 30% of our worries are about the past, and they can't be changed. 70% about the past and the future. 12% are needless worries about your health. 10% are petty worries, not worth worrying about. It said that only 8% are legitimate concerns. This is a secular study. It's interesting, even from the secular perspective, if we could narrow down our worries to legitimate things, we could avoid 92% of the stuff that we worry about. But even those 8% or that, 8%, even as we think about those things, we spend all sorts of time trying to control the uncontrollable. And we spin out trying to figure out how we can fix it, what we could put in place. We try to think of all these different angles. We worry about what it means for our family. We worry about what it means for our health. We worry about what it means for our future. And so we go to the Bible and say, is there such a thing as an antidote to anxiety? And the Bible wonderfully says, yes, absolutely yes. In fact, in Philippians 4:6, Paul begins to answer this question. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God your needs. That's really the message today in a sentence, if you want it. It's pray about everything, right? And don't worry. And so you start asking, what kind of prayer could I possibly pray that would help me not worry so much? And actually, Jesus gives us one in Matthew 6:11 and says this. This is how you should pray. Give us today our daily bread. It's an interesting thing. We say that every week as we do the Lord's Prayer, right? It's kind of rote. We go through it oftentimes without thinking about it. But in this one little sentence, Jesus actually gives us three keys on how to overcome worry in our life. It's transformative, really, when you start trusting and you start understanding what Jesus is trying to share here. It's why, if I can remember that I'm worrying, right, which apparently is my trick, I can give it to God and experience peace. And it changes everything. It changes my outlook, changes my sleep patterns, changes my back hurting. It changes everything. So let's take a look at this. And one of the first things that God gives us in this little sentence is this. Ask. Ask God for assistance. I mean, wouldn't that make a difference? I mean, just objectively make a difference? Instead of worrying, request help. That's what it says, because worry is always an attempt to control the uncontrollable. When you feel like you're helpless, what do? You start worrying about it. Well, what am I going to do? I can't figure it out. But ask yourself for a minute, and you have to take a step back to do this. Whatever that is that you're stressing about, worrying about, having anxiety about, fearing about, whatever, is any part of it outside of God's control? And the answer, and it's irritating a little bit, but the answer is no. Nothing is outside of his control. He can control everything. He can fix everything. There's nothing, absolutely nothing outside of his control. And so given that we can't control, but that God can, this is what Jesus says. In James 4, or he says, ask. In James 4, 2, James actually echoes this. He says, you do not have because you do not ask God. In other words, if we prayed as much as we worried, we'd have a whole lot less to worry about, wouldn't we? Over 20 times in the New Testament, God says, ask. He wants you to ask. He's waiting for you to ask. The things that you're worrying about right now, he says, don't worry about them. Instead, come to me. Ask me to help. I'm here for you. He's almost begging us in the midst of Scripture. Come to me while you're struggling through life. Ask me for my assistance, because nothing is outside of my control. Heard about a guy one time, he died and he went to heaven, and there's all these warehouses in heaven, and Jesus is showing him around, and he walks him in one of these warehouses, and there's everything that you can imagine in there, cars and homes and spiritual situations, girlfriends, $1 million checks, you name it, it's in there. And he says, Jesus, what are all these different things? And he says, well, it's interesting. Each one of these things has a tag on it, and each tag says the same thing. Guy walks up to one of the things near him, and he looks at the tag, and it just says, never ask for. You know, whenever I use this illustration or whenever we go through this whole thing on worrying, I always think of 31st Street. And for those of you who've been here for a while, it really is a remarkable thing. It's this thing that kept us from building here for so many years. It was so far outside our price range. It was $1.5 million, and then it was $2 million, and then it ended up being close to $3 million to put that street in. And we didn't have an answer for that. At one point, we rejoiced because God gave us a vehicle to build the administration wing, and that was huge for us, and we were so excited about it, but it was still there. We actually voted over a period of time to move from this facility twice to some other place, but it got outbid in both instances. It was just one of those things that we didn't have an answer to, and so we prayed about it. We prayed as a congregation. I prayed as a person. I know lots of people in this place were praying. And then one day God sent the city over and said, hey, we'll do it for you for free. You know, we'll pay for the whole thing. Is there anything that's impossible for God? There's a guy that works for the city here, and he said there's no reason ever that the city would do this street. Is there anything that's impossible for God? No. We just don't think to come to him for some reason. I don't know what the deal is. Or we give up way too soon on those prayers. It's an interesting thing. Let me just personalize this for a little bit. It's not just the street that God answers, right? It's stuff that's going on inside of us as well. Let me give you some examples of this. When I don't know what to do, God is my wisdom. Actually, calls us to ask him for wisdom in Scripture. When I run out of energy, God is my source of strength. When I feel like everything's caving in and depressing me, God is my source of happiness. That one kind of resonates with me a little bit. I did a wedding yesterday for two amazing people. They're both Christians. They both love the Lord. They both bring out the best in each other. Those are fun weddings, by the way, to do. And nobody's wondering if this is a good idea. Everybody knows it's a good idea. I love doing those weddings. But both of these people that got married had been through hard stuff in their life, difficult times. I mean, really struggled. And yet God took all that hard stuff, right? And you know how I say he's always working, right? He works it into something good. And that's a perspective that God can bring, right? I got you as you're going through these times. I got you as you're going through these struggles. I'm working, and eventually you're going to experience the good that I've been talking about. God is our source of happiness, source of hope when things look hopeless, when life becomes stressed out, and he's my source of peace. When I become irritated and about to blow up, God's the only one that can give me patience. When I'm overwhelmed with guilt, God is my source of salvation. When I feel like giving up, God is my source of encouragement, and on and on and on it goes. God is the source of all of these different things that we desperately need as we're going through this life just to make it, just to keep ourselves sane, just to keep on keeping on. He says, look to me. God is waiting for us to ask him for help. Ask him for his assistance. And I'm telling you, when you're stressed out and you're spinning, that's one of the first things we need to do. We need to go to him in prayer and say, God, help. Sometimes that's all we can get out. Help me. Help me get through this. Help me make sense of this. Help me solve this situation. But he goes on. There's another part. We also need to remember God's resources. You know, even with the street, there's some people that wouldn't pray that prayer because they said, God's never going to do that, right? That's impossible. You got to remember his resources. I think so often we begin to worry about things in life because we forget his promises. That's why we can't get over the stress, right? Because we refuse to trust or remember the promise that God's got us, that he's with us, that he's working. If we would trust those things, he would give us that peace. That's why we lose our strength to keep on keeping on. It's why we give up too soon because we don't trust him to give us the strength. It's why we freak out when we're watching the news, or we freak out when we look at sometimes our checkbook or whatever, because we forget that God's promised to provide, or that he's got the future in his hand. We forget his promises. And we forget, right, that he has unlimited resources at his disposal. So that's why Jesus tells us to pray, give us today our daily bread. I think sometimes we pray that prayer and we think maybe that's a little inappropriate in America because all we have to do is go down to the store to get bread. It's not like any of us are really struggling with food. Sometimes rent, sometimes car payments, sometimes some of that. But most of us can afford the bread. So sometimes we read that and we think maybe it's more appropriate for like Ethiopia or someplace like that where they're really struggling with that. And maybe the prayer in America should be, Lord, help me not eat so much of my daily bread, right? So I can lose some weight. But bread here actually represents the basic necessities of life, which we all have. Everything you need, both the exterior physical stuff and the inside stuff that we need just to cope. Everything that we need, your sustenance, what it takes to keep you going through the day. And here's the thing, God's concerned about all those needs. He's concerned about all your struggles, all your hurts, all your worries, the things that you're worried about with the future. He's concerned about all of it. In Philippians 4:19, it says, God will supply everything that you ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. What does all include there? It includes everything, right? And so if this verse is really true, and it is, then what do we have to worry about? Again, the uncomfortable answer that we keep coming up with is nothing, right? Nothing God can't do, nothing that we need to worry about if he's true to his promises, absolutely nothing. So the reality is that all the anxiety that we've been carrying around these last few days, these last few months, these last few years, it's worthless if God really does meet all of our needs. So notice here, though, it doesn't say that God will supply all of my greeds. I know this because I haven't won the lottery yet. I could win tomorrow or whenever the next drawing is. I don't know. But I haven't won yet, so he hasn't supplied all my greeds. And so there's a big difference between needs and greeds, isn't there? He doesn't say, I'll give you everything that you want. And I know advertising complicates this for us in America and across the world, for sure. It makes a lot of our wants seem like needs. And I know because we get closer to Christmas, all these catalogs keep coming to our house, and some of them have shoes in it. My girls are looking through saying, "Dad, I need these shoes. I desperately need these shoes to survive. I mean, everything, you know." But they don't need shoes. They got shoes on, right? They don't need these shoes. They want the shoes. They don't need the shoes. Truth is, we don't give our kids everything they want in this life. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, we love them. Number two, they want everything. So, it, you know, take us to the poorhouse. Number three, it's not good for them to get everything that they want. I mean, becoming spoiled does something to your soul, the way you look at other people, treat other people, view things. We don't want that for our kids. There's also some things we don't give it to them because we want them to focus on stuff over here that's more important, and they'd get lost in some of these other kinds of things that would enter into their lives. So because we love our kids, we don't give them everything they want. And on top of that, our kids don't always know what's best for them. Is that fair? Here's a more uncomfortable truth. We don't always know what's best for us. But God does. And God's the perfect dad. He's the perfect father. And so sometimes he says no to us because he's got something better in store down the line, and he just needs us to be patient. Sometimes he says no because it's not good for us. But lots of times, most of the time, he says yes. But he is a loving dad that cares about us. He's the perfect parent. Again, we don't give our kids everything they want, and God doesn't give us everything we want either, but he does promise to give us everything that we need. So we remember that God's got the resources, and we remember to go to God for assistance. And I'm going to give you one more thing. It's found in this verse, too, and it's hard. But we need to trust God's timing for things, too. When you pray, you remember that there is no problem for God that he can't answer, and then you begin to trust him with the stuff. And it helps you begin to trust him for his timing as to when he answers as well. It says, give us today our daily bread. And we love to focus on the today because we want everything today. I mean, we do. We want it yesterday, actually. And I think often the most difficult part in overcoming worry is overcoming the timing thing. For example, how many of you discovered that God's timing, your timing are not the same thing? I discovered that in my 20s. I wanted a wife, you know. I was graduating college. I wanted a wife to go to seminary. God did not give me one. All the way through my 20s, it was brutal. I meet a girl, she's not the one. And how did I know this? Because I was dumped. But God had somebody in store, right? He said, when you're 28, you'll meet the woman of your dreams. When you're 30, you'll get married. Just trust me on this. She's not ready for you yet, and you're clearly not ready for her. So we got work to do, right? I just needed to trust him. And I could have enjoyed those years in a much different way. We say, I'm in a hurry, God. God, I need it now. I need it yesterday. Why aren't you coming through? And God says, no, you don't. You need it when I say you need it. He's the perfect dad, right? But here's the hard truth with all that. God's timing is perfect. Our timing isn't always. And so waiting requires faith and it requires trust, doesn't it? I had another buddy who lost a job for a year and looked frantically for a year trying to find a new job. And then he got a new job about the year point. It was a better job than he had before. He goes, I could have had a year vacation instead of stressing out the whole year. The waiting thing necessitates trust. And that trust can give you peace in the midst of the in-between. It can give you peace in the midst of the storm. It can give you peace before he answers that prayer. Because in the end, God wants us to teach, actually wants to teach us this trusting, this daily, continuous trusting in our life, this moment by moment. That's why when we pray this prayer, we should focus on, give us this day our daily bread. Not our weekly, not our monthly, not our annually, but daily, right? Hence daily bread. It's a statement of trust. He wants us to continually trust him as we're going through this life. Think about it. If God gave you everything that you'd ever need all at once, how often would you come to him? Truth is, for most of us, not very much anymore. So he wants to provide it on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. He'll give it to you one day at a time so that you keep your dependence upon him, so that you keep trusting in him, so that you keep looking to him as your source as you're going through this life. Give us our daily ration, not enough for tomorrow, not enough for next week, but for today. Ultimately, that's how God wants you to live. That is not how we want to live. We want it all at once. We want to not worry about it anymore. We want to just have it all in a bank account someplace where it can't be lost, you know, whatever account that is, you know. But God gives it to us one day at a time. But if you can grasp hold of that, that's what it means to live by faith. He wants us to depend upon him regularly as we go through life. And so how do I get to the place where I have that kind of lifestyle, where I'm trusting him day to day, where I'm trusting him and not worrying about tomorrow or next week? How do I get that kind of faith? And he tells us in his word, right? He says, simple, you read my word. You read the Bible. In Romans 10:17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. So it's funny, I know I write these things 5 weeks in advance, but what calmed me down? It was going through this sermon today. It was going through God's word. It was going through God's promises. Every time I go back to his word, he reminds me that he's got me as I'm going through this crazy life. And when he reminds me, then finally I go, oh yeah, here. And I experience the peace. I'm telling you, it's a tangible difference. Stressed out, peace, the next moment. The more I read this book, the more I study this book, the more I fill my mind with stories of the book, of this book, and the greater my faith grows. That's what Paul says, and it's my experience as well. Why? Because there's thousands and thousands of years of examples in this book about how God always provides. It's not like God doesn't have a track record. He's got a whole list of illustrations that say God always provides. You want a few years of examples? God's got 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years of examples. Just start reading this book. You can go back to the Old Testament and see crazy, dramatic things like the Exodus, where for 40 years in the desert, God fed 3 million people on a daily basis. Literally, he sent bread down from heaven that covered the ground. Literally, daily bread for 40 years for 3 million people. Manna, it was called manna. And manna in the Hebrew word for it simply means, what is it? They'd never seen it before. It wasn't part of their universe. They'd never come into contact with it. And yet for 30 years, God said, here. 40 years. God said, here's bread for you to eat as you're struggling through this wilderness until I get you to the promised land. In Matthew 6:34, then it says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. I tell you, that's a challenging verse, but it's how you overcome worry. You pray and you live one day at a time. And here's the good news with all this. You're always living in your todays. Isn't that great? You're not living yesterday, and you're not living in your tomorrows. You're always living. Your moment, every single moment of your life is today. So he says, just trust me now. Trust me in your todays, and you'll be in the right spot. And so let me just ask again, what are you worried about the most lately? Is it the finances? Is it your job, your kids, your health? I mean, what is it? Have you thought about asking God for assistance, remembering his resources, or trusting his timing? Truth is, some of us are afraid to trust him. I think that's a reality. Maybe not in this service, but you know, for sure the others. But people are Christians, they're believers, they love the Lord, but they so often get afraid to trust him with that little bit more, right? You think if I really give my life to God, it'll turn me into some kind of nutcase, you know, like pastor or somebody like that. If I really trust him, right, with my life, he's going to make my life miserable. If I really trust him in the tithing thing, I'm going to go into the poorhouse. And what all those statements really say is you're just not really trusting him yet. I mean, not fully. I think that's a fair statement. But he's waiting. He's waiting for you to trust him with the more. He's waiting so that he can show you how much more love and care and provision that he has for you in this life. He just wants you to teach him to trust him with the more, to live a life of faith, right? Day by day, trusting him with the ins and the outs. And so he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. To conclude, I just want to say this, and most of you have, but if you've never met Christ, you need to meet him. Jesus says a crazy thing one time. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger again. For so many people in their world today, there is a dissatisfaction in their heart. There's this hole that they can't fill. My buddy Mike says, actually verbalized this to me one time. He says, something's not right. I've tried all sorts of things to fill, but it's like I have a hole in my heart, in my soul somewhere, and I can't seem to fill it with anything. I thought getting married would fix it. I thought getting a Tesla would fix it. I thought, you know, and he just names all these different things, but it's still there. And every time he says something like that to me, I said, you fill it with Jesus, right? I mean, he's the one that actually fills that hole. That's why he says, I am the bread of life. A bread that truly satisfies, that fills that empty spot. So if you've never said yes to him, I'd pray that you say yes to him today. Or again, if you're already a believer and you've already done all this, then I challenge you then to trust him differently, to develop a bedrock conviction that for the rest of your life, you're going to look to God as your source to meet all your needs. That you would remember and then claim those promises and experience that peace and that strength and that hope and that power. He does have an amazing track record, thousands and thousands of years of meeting needs. I've been alive for 54 years, and I've been a Christian for 54 years, and I can promise you he's met all my needs. Not all my wants, for sure, but all my needs. And his promise to you is that he will meet your needs as well if you trust him today and for the rest of your life. Let us pray. God, we love you so much. You know, and again, thank you for slowing us down as we go through this prayer. Thank you for just giving us pause to look at each one of these petitions, Lord. And today, just help us embrace these truths. Help us not worry so much. And when we figure out we're worrying so much, Lord, help us give you all of it. Help us trust us that you've got us. Help us trust that you can do it. Help us trust that you're working all things for our good. And even when you cause us to wait, that you're working for that right time to give us these things that we so desperately need in our life. Help that understanding and help that trust that you got us. Give us peace to be differently in this life, to experience peace to go to sleep, to experience peace to settle down and to deal differently with the world, to give us peace so that the pain in our back goes away, to give us peace. Because, Father, that's what we need right now in our life more and more and more as the world gets crazier and crazier around us. So hear our prayer this morning in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.